Hello and welcome to the Gibraltar Business Podcast. I'm your host, David Ravagliate. Each week, I'm joined by a different guest and we discuss themes like leadership, business, balance, and explore some of the global issues that affect their particular sector. If you already know the show, welcome back. I promise that season six will be the best one yet. If you're just discovering the podcast, hello and welcome. Please hit subscribe and follow so you never miss an episode. The Gibraltar Business Podcast is brought to you by the GFSB and is sponsored by Gibraltar International Bank, an institution that shares our passion for business. Philippe Saliard, and I'm sorry if I pronounced that wrong, is a relatively new player to our local business scene. Originally from France, Philippe took over as CEO of the Bassadoni Automotive Group in January this year after a long career within the automotive industry. He's worked in France, he's worked in Korea, he's worked in Russia, and now adds Gibraltar to his list. I really, really enjoyed this discussion. Philippe's passion for his sector and on driving it forward were palpable, and I know that our business community here in The Rock will benefit from his presence. Later in the episode, and purely by chance, we meet another Frenchman who's finding success in Gibraltar. Vincent Carey from Purple Media pops in for a quick chat. So firstly, Philippe, welcome to Gibraltar and thank you for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you very much for the welcome. It's a pleasure.
I know you haven't been here long. I think just off the interview you mentioned you started on the 8th of Jan.
Yes, correct, yeah.
So what have you been your impressions so far?
About Gibraltar itself, you mean?
Yeah.
It's a nice place, very unique. I like Gibraltar because, remember, I'm French, so nothing to do with somebody coming from the UK. So I have really the impression I am abroad, somewhere which is a mix of culture, international. So when you are not from the place, it's quite nice. And in the meantime, you can really feel the history, the unique identity of the Gibraltarians who still want, I think, to remain Gibraltarians as such. So it's a very, very exotic place when you do not know it so much.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of our listeners will pick that up and how Gibraltar has transformed just in terms of from as a community, as a multicultural and international community, past business as well. So yeah, great answer. You passed the test. Obviously, you know, for the benefit of our listeners, I've done my research. We've had a chat before starting the recording, but for the benefit of our listeners, can you briefly outline your journey, I guess, from Ford or from those early days to your current role as CEO of the Bassadoni Automotive Group?
Sure. In fact, I started in the banking industry, and after 2 years or maybe less, I realized I needed something a bit more thrilling. I joined Ford Motor Company a bit by chance, to be honest. It was not a passion for automotive business. But you know, it was early 90s, American companies, marketing of the American companies like Procter & Gamble, that kind of things. It was very popular. So I started there and I've been working 14 years with Ford, mainly in France. Learning all the basics of the business. Ford was the best school for automotive at that time. And I moved different job. I think each 2 years I was moving to a new position. But I wanted to have some new experiences, and it was the beginning of Nissan expanding in Europe. So they created Nissan Europe and they were recruiting. So I joined Nissan. And it was an incredible journey, very different from Ford, where you are pushed to the limit, to your limits. You think things cannot happen, but finally, when you look at it behind, you realize that you did it. And it was a bit the Nissan journey, which was mainly a foreign service assignment twice in Switzerland, once in Hungary, in Russia. We moved with the family. Nissan gave me this opportunity that you come to a country, you do not know the market, you do not know the culture, and you need to work and manage the people. As I was CEO of the branches, or afterwards in charge of sales and marketing for Europe. And then 3 years at BNP Paribas, back to banking, but not as a banker, as an automotive expert for the bank. But I met George Bassadon 5-6 years ago. We were always in contact, and he proposed to me to join the group 3 years ago. And I knew the company, the culture, the values, most of the people. And of course, I accepted.
Brilliant. That's a great summary for a long career. And a few things stick out there. I think when you're working for an American firm, you mentioned that they had kind of the best. Why would you say that they were the best for the best school?
Best school in terms of basics of the business, you see. So marketing-wise, customer centricity. I remember Ford was monitoring 100% of customer satisfaction through a traditional paper mailing globally in 1991. So some did it probably 10 years later and still selecting or sampling when they were doing it the 1 month after delivery, 1 year after delivery, 2 years after delivery, 3 years after delivery for, I don't know, the 6 or 7 million customers a year that that Ford was doing. So customer centricity, marketing, and basics of the business, how to sell, how to market, how to price, all those things finally, which probably start to be vanishing a bit in the way the manufacturers are teaching their people.
I think, you know, as a marketer myself, I think having that constant feedback loop, how important is that? You know, you've got your product is being tested and you're learning what customers say. So yeah, absolutely. What a great thing to learn, right? What's your current role now at Bassadoni?
I'm the CEO of Bassadon Automotive Group, which is the activities we have in Gibraltar. So Bassadon Motors, Toyota Gibraltar Stock Holding, ADS. We are also importing SsangYong, which is now KGM in the UK. We have also two dealerships in Spain. So that's the perimeter. I take over from Kevin Jones, who has been contributing with George Bassadon to build his company. And it's a great honor to hand over with him right now. He will be still there, of course, in the group as one of the builders of the group.
Absolutely. And Kevin was my very first guest on the show, actually. So
okay. I didn't know, to be honest, but...
Yeah, very big shout out to Kevin, if you're listening. Okay. Philippe, looking at your career journey, I sense that there's an entrepreneurial nature in you, right? And a lot of people think you can be entrepreneurial and still be employed. Is fostering that entrepreneurial spirit important to you?
I think the entrepreneurial mindset of the company I'm working with is the most important. I don't think I am necessarily a very big entrepreneur. I'm 58 and it did not happen. So you can always think.
It's that concept of, and I think it's one of the themes that I want for this season, is that entrepreneurship, it doesn't necessarily mean you set up your own business, but you can have that drive in your spirit. And I find that when I speak to successful business people, be that in their own business or for other businesses, that entrepreneurial side is there.
Sure. Yeah. It's one skill, I would say, or one competence. But still, you have the ones who did it and the ones who did not necessarily go through the real decision of becoming entrepreneurial or entrepreneur. No, of course, when you are in charge of a team, in charge of a country, of a cost center, of a profit center, whatever, you need to have that kind of mindset. So it's mandatory. That's part of leadership to a certain extent. What I meant is that in the group today, there is this very high level value in most of the things we do because it started like this. So it's in the DNA of the company that most of the people have been contributing to create from scratch sometimes some businesses. So that's what I meant, yes.
Yeah, and I can definitely see that with Bassadoni for sure. You mentioned leadership there, which brings me on really nicely to my next question. which was, how would you describe your leadership style? And has it changed throughout your career?
I think you have two layers of, you have what you are as a person, and you can always try to change. You try to amplify, or you try to diminish the influence of some of the tendencies, but this is what you are inside. And then you have the skills, the competencies, the expertise that you develop. But not to be too long on the topic, I think in terms of leader, I have a high value of integrity and transparency, honesty. So you do what you say and you say what you do is a bit what I'm repeating too many times sometimes at home. My kids didn't like it.
So leadership is a parenting style, or is that too much of a me?
Leadership is everywhere, you know. So, but okay, you have, I would say, that kind of a thing. I'm performance driven, so the results, but the performance is also something which is a driver that I never really forget. So this is part of my management style. And I think I'm team spirit. So try to achieve the results by being a team. So not, you know, just waiting for the team to deliver and myself assessing delivered, not delivered, could be better. It's not my kind of thing. So I'm a team. I'm a team spirit and player, and trying to reach all together the best results, as well as trying always to share not the vision. Vision is a big name or big word, I would say, but trying to share and anticipate what could come later on, and trying to be prepared, because that's the role of the leader. Not only managing the months, the quarter, or the year, but to be able to anticipate as much as possible the future.
I think a lot of what you've talked about there is similar to my conversations with Peter on the AADA side. I've met with him and with Kevin as well, and obviously George saw that in you when he met you. So yeah, that's great to kind of hear that from you. Coming back to the industry now, in your opinion, is Gibraltar ready to shift to electric vehicles and digitalization?
It's the electrification is something, if you look at what happened in the market, you need two things. You need a political intention, which is translated into subsidies, incentives. It was not necessarily financial incentives at the beginning. You could drive on the bus lanes in some towns, you could park in some places. It was not always subsidizing the cost. But that's first. Anywhere where you didn't get that, it didn't take off. And the second point is infrastructure. And infrastructure means a certain number of hundreds of charging stations which have to be developed if people living in Gibraltar want to have the capacity to recharge. So in Bassadon Motors, we are putting in place some charging stations for our customers, as an example, but it has to go beyond that. So if you don't have those two, let's say, mandatory, basic must-have at the beginning, the electric vehicle market does not necessarily pick up.
Do you see that Gibraltar has those two things?
Not at the time. Not now, I would say. And I can understand why, because it's probably not the top priority today. So it will follow, but it will follow. So in a way, today, let's say that the European market is probably around 10% of electric vehicles. I'm talking about BEVs, so battery electric vehicles. Putting aside PHEV, the plug-in hybrids, or the hybrid vehicles, which are there, here in Gibraltar, as everywhere. But if we talk about battery electric vehicles, 100% electric vehicles, it's around, yes, something like 10%, when in Gibraltar today it's much lower than that. We have the range available, so we know exactly. It will come first with the light commercial vehicles, where there is a clear, let's say, attraction, and on the passenger cars, it starts, but it takes time. It takes time.
I think, you know, even when you look at Gibraltar, most of us live in apartments, very hard to put charging stations. And I think, I definitely see more hybrid vehicles. So maybe that's a solution that fits for Gibraltar.
The hybrid vehicles technically fits, but in terms of European emissions, does not fit 100%. So as a manufacturer, remember that you will have to pay some penalties if you do not reach the certain thresholds of CO2 emissions, which have been fixed. And as a consequence, you need to sell everything. So you need to continue selling some ICE engines, combustion engines, because it's still a demand and it's still a solution for some vehicles. Hybrid is there, but you need also to sell BEVs, and you need to take a big share of BEVs, because once, if you do not reach this CO2 emission threshold, you pay billions of penalties as a manufacturer. So it's driving the industry, reducing the development of the combustion engines, because you cannot develop everything together, the batteries, the electric vehicles, new platforms. We talk about billions of investments. So at the end of the day, you need to make some choices. That's why most of our manufacturers have been announcing that in 2030, they would be 100% electric. In reality, it's also because they will not renew some petrol and diesel engines.
Wow. So you have lots of changes coming for the sector. And I'm sure listeners, if they need to find out more, can go to Bassettoni and find out the latest on that. Talking about future and technology, because one of the big things that's driving this change is the technology behind electric digitization. Are there any tech-driven projects at Bassettoni that you're excited about?
In fact, the Bassett Automotive Group very conscious of building the future on that. And I have to tell you that coming from big international companies, the level of tech, especially in IT, which is in place, is really already quite advanced. And in this context, it has been decided to equip our employees with an AI software. I will not necessarily make any advertising on your you tell me if you need. It's a big American company. And we have been deciding to deploy that now with the management team. We are going to test it, to pilot it. And we are going to see how we put it in place in the business and with the people working, how they can use it, how they should use it. So that's something which is under definition. But what is for sure is that today, we have AI available in Bassettoni Automotive Group, and we are going to implement it in the forthcoming months in most of the things we do. That's the direction.
Well, that's again refreshing to hear, because AI again is another theme that I'll be talking about a lot in this season. It's cagey. A lot of businesses still feel, you know, friend or foe about AI, and it's refreshing to see that. I think it's here as a technology, in my opinion, and I think you either embrace it or get left behind. And I think if you know what it is, and you know how to harness it as an organization, it's the only option that we really have, you know. So it's great to hear such a established company here locally embracing or exploring it in a way that's beneficial.
It's even more, David. We are not going to explore it. We are going to use it, knowing and taking into consideration the threats and the opportunities that AI can be embedding. But we will definitely use it, and we have significant number of applications in the group in terms of production, in terms of IT improvement, in which I'm sure we can have some. Yes, improvements and good improvements for the people when they do their job also.
Yeah, so big transformations coming. I'm excited about that. I'll watch this space. One of your specialism, Philippe, is business development, marketing, market expansion is a theme when I look at your background. What have you learned from expanding markets? And where are the opportunities for market expansion for in this role?
In terms of market expansion, so two ways of looking at it. You want to grow by being on new markets, or you are in a market which is totally new. It's two different approaches if you see the difference. So I've been working in some markets which were, let's take for example, Russia. Russia in 2012, when I joined the country, was the Eldorado of the manufacturers. The market was around 2.5 million units, and was expecting to become the biggest market in Europe. Wow. You would not say today, or they are saying today, that Russia can be European market, by the way. Huh? But it was the case at that time. So it was supposed to become 3.7 million units by 2023, something like this. And the plan was clearly to rush to develop the market. The market development was coming from the middle class people, which was a category growing by 30% each 6 months. Wow. That was the driver. So when you were extrapolating the rate of equipment and the people who could reach and afford a new vehicles, let's say, you were reaching those figures. So it was about developing the distribution, finding dealers at a very, very high speed, developing the product very quickly, producing the products locally, because there were some customs barriers which were making the imported cars non-competitive. So it was about all those things, recruiting people, growing, etc. But the reverse of the medal is that one day the Russian army has been invading part of Ukraine, Crimea, to be clear, and all those things disappeared in 24 hours. So the ruble devalued by 100%, and it never recovered, and the market did not recover. And that was the end of the development.
But what an experience to have been there for it, right?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
If the experience and the time that you spent there isn't probably going to be repeated for a very long time by anyone else. So I think
that was really an experience. The thing also was, which was good, that I experienced the next phase, which was the recession, the decrease of the market, and the cancellation of most of the things which had been developed 1 year and a half ago, which is also part of life. So I had the good and the bad.
How did that feel? If you have projects that you have in line,
yeah,
that overnight, as you say, like from one night to the next, go.
Yeah.
That must have been hard for a leader at the time, right?
Yeah, it's psychologically difficult to stand in a way, yes, because you have the impression that you killed the baby you've been creating. So it's something which is tough, but at least you feel probably better that you have to manage that instead of somebody else. So what you've been trying to develop, even if you have to right size, to downsize, to terminate in some cases, at least I felt better to be in charge of doing that instead of anybody else having to manage that.
Yeah, I think so much of our time is spent at work or for ourselves or for other people, and that becomes a focus, quite rightly so. But you know, to that must have been a big moment of going, wow, it puts in things into context, no? Which brings me on to another quick question as well for you is your life outside, I guess, from work, and what some of your motivations are. So as a busy man, what keeps you motivated? And what have been some of those inspirational people or words throughout your career?
I think what keeps me motivated is working with people. To be honest, out of the job, my first concern or hobby was my family. I have four kids, so three of them are now not with us anymore. So, but it was my only hobby, I would say, or my main hobby, let's be honest. No, what keeps me motivated really is working with people. So it's extremely difficult to be on your own and to work on your own in comparison with interacting on a daily basis with people. I think everybody has been experiencing that during the COVID-19 part. But that's really for me the most important motivation and inspiration for the future.
Brilliant, because there's a lot of people in Gibraltar who are going to want to meet you, so lucky. Last question, and it's one that I ask all my guests, and they all kind of roll their eyes when I ask it. What's that one lesson or that one piece of advice that has been crucial for you and that maybe you'd like to pass on to our listeners?
I think I remember two things. Let's say one very, very old advice, which was given to me by my first manager. It was at Ford Motor Company. And he told me one thing. It was, if I remember well, so it's a few years ago, to be honest, huh? A few decades ago.
He told me,
you know, with the company, you can make a mistake and you can be responsible for $1 million loss. You can still survive. But remember one thing, if you would be stealing 1 cent to the company, you will be disappearing. So it's something he told me, and not only one talk, that the company was really designed as such in terms of values. It was really the case. That was one of the first advice I had. And I think one of the second, I told it already, it was... do what you say and say what you do, which was told by probably not at work, something I heard long ago. I was probably still a kid, but I think it's a good summary. If you want to shave in the morning in the mirror and yeah. to be comfortable, in your shoes.
Self-respect, right? So, yes, yeah, so I guess, look, that's consistency and that's standing up to your own values, right? So, Philippe, thank you. You've been an amazing guest. Thank you for joining me. And yeah, I'm sure we'll bump into each other again soon.
I'm sure. I will be there. Thank you very much for the welcome and the opportunity you gave us.
GFSB, Member Spotlight.
So, Vincent, welcome to the Gibraltar Business Podcast.
Thanks a lot for inviting me. I'm very glad to be here. I'm very happy. Thank you.
No problem at all. In this part of the show is when we invite members from the GFSB to come and talk to our listeners about their services. Now, I know Purple Media. I've been lucky enough to collaborate with them and with Vincent on a number of projects, actually. But for the benefit of those who are listening, can you tell me about Purple Media?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So Purple Media, we are a local Gibraltar-based full media agency. That is, we handle all the marketing needs for all the clients locally. And internationally, if they also need global campaigns. So basically, we take all the hassle out of planning and executing marketing campaigns. So whether you have a new product, you have a new service, or you want to raise awareness of your brand, of your business, then you can come to us and we'll handle everything. That is from establishing a clear marketing and media strategy, creating all the artworks that go behind it, obviously based on your brand, and then launching the campaign based on your target audience, locally or internationally, and obviously measuring the results, optimizing the campaign so you get the best return on your investment.
And you mentioned internationally, and I think that's a key one, right? So you work from Gibraltar, but you serve clients in other nations as well.
Absolutely. So we're 100% Gibraltar-based, though now we have a client based also in Spain, in Portugal, in France, and a few other small countries around the world.
If someone put you on the spot and said, what makes your firm different to other firms out there, what would it be?
Right. So locally, we live and breathe local. We are also SME, and our unique edge is that we really specialize in small and medium businesses. That is, you get all the services of big media agencies that usually will only look after and be interested in big clients, but we transpose that into small and medium businesses. We think they should get the same quality of work, and we treat them the same way.
Okay, thank you. Lastly, how can our listeners get in touch with you?
Right, so it's quite simple. You can visit our website, www.purple.gi, or email us at info@purple.gi.
Right, Vincent, thank you very much. Thanks for coming on to the show. And
thanks for inviting me.
And that's a wrap for this episode of the Gibraltar Business Podcast. Thank you to our guests, Philippe Saliard from Bassadoni and Philip Carey from Purple Media. Thank you to the team at the GFSB, our sponsor, the Gibraltar International Bank, and everyone who contributes to the project and keeps the podcast going from strength to strength. Thank you to you. I really hope you've enjoyed listening. Catch up on any episodes you've missed anytime you like. So it's a goodbye from me until next week. And until then, keep your eyes on the prize and reach for your goals. See you very soon.